praise God. Well, I was a sinner without any hope until God came in my heart. Told me He would be my guide, never would depart. Well, that is why I'm singing today. I fell down on my knees and prayed. I got something that the world can't give. Sing it with me. I got something that the world can't give, the world can't take away. I got something that the world can't give, and it keeps me day by day. I got something worth talking about, sometimes makes me sing and shout. I got something that the world can't give. Can you do it one more time? I got something that the world can't give, the world can't take away. I got something that the world can't give. It keeps me day by day. Well, I got something worth talking about. Sometimes makes me sing and shout. I got something that the world can't give, the world can't take away. If you're thankful for that tonight, give God praise in this house. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Amen. And I ain't talking about worldly material things either. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about that relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like to go to the book of 1 Chronicles. In the 29th chapter of the book of 1 Chronicles tonight. For a message text, I want to read verse number 10 and 11. And then we may backtrack just a little bit and cover some of the words of King David as he was preparing to pass the mantle over to Solomon, who God had anointed to be the next king of Israel. The book of 1 Chronicles, chapter number 29, beginning with verse number 10. When you get there, say, praise the Lord. Thank God for the word. Amen. Verse number 10 of the 29th chapter of the book of 1 Chronicles. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for this opportunity and the desire that you have placed in our heart to come tonight to worship you. Thank you for those who gathered here tonight. And Father, I pray, God, that you would just bless and anoint each and every one here tonight. God, we thank you for the prayers that you've already answered, the miracles that you've already performed. And God, with great expectation, we know, God, that you're still in the healing business. And Father, I ask tonight, God, that you would just anoint these lips of clay. God, anoint our hearts, God, that we'll be open to your word, to your will. God, and we'll do that you have us to do. And we'll be so careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. One more hand clap of the praise for the Lord. You may be seated. Praise God. Tonight, for just a short time, and I thank you for coming out on a Wednesday night. I don't do Facebook, but Penny informs me sometimes when something is especially interesting or funny. She mainly shows me the funny stuff. But someone had put on there, thank you, Lord, for blessing us with such a beautiful fall from November the 9th through November the 11th. That's pretty good, ain't it? That's pretty good. Amen. Hey, if you don't like Georgia weather, stick around. It'll change for you. I guarantee you in a heartbeat. But just thankful. Amen. Thankful to be here, whatever kind of weather that it is. And I'm thankful God give us the desire to meet in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. You know, it's probably just as warm in here as it is at your house, isn't it? So we thank God for that. But tonight I want to take from the passage of 1 Chronicles, those verses 10 and 11, and maybe bring a thought tonight, simply thine, O Lord. Amen. I want to incorporate that into my prayer. I want to incorporate that into my worship and certainly my acknowledgement. Thine, O Lord. Everything that I am, I attribute to God. Everything that I have, I attribute that to God's blessing. Amen. I believe with all of my heart I'm here today only by the grace of God. I thank Him for length of days. I thank Him for blessing. I thank Him for being an on-time God. I often tell the story, and this is getting off just a minute, but let me just kind of kind of purge my mind and heart a little bit tonight, but I thank God that He is always on call. He is always there. He's never out of the office. Amen. Can you put your hands together for that? Amen. You'll never find Him too busy. You'll never find Him too preoccupied. Many, many times I have given the story of Brother O'Kelly, Brother Leroy O'Kelly, and Brother Paul O'Kelly, two precious ministers of God who were associates to my granddaddy when he had the church at Rockmart. And all three of them, by the way, worked in the Goodyear plant up there, the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company there that's still there in Rockmart, Georgia. Brother Leroy and Brother Paul worked on the day shift. My granddad worked at the third shift. And they worked. Brother Paul and Brother Leroy worked on opposite ends of the plant or the manufacturing plant. And Brother Paul had an episode where, for some reason, I was young when they was telling this story, but he began to hemorrhage. He fell on the floor while he was at work, and he began to hemorrhage. And, of course, they'd been working there for years. Everybody knew the O'Kelly boys, and knew Brother Paul and Brother Leroy were both not only physical brothers or natural brothers, but they were brothers in Christ and both of them ministers. And Brother Paul, all he could get out was, go get my brother, go get my brother, to come pray for me. So they went and ran and got Brother Leroy. And Brother Leroy, you just had to know him. He was a Sunday school teacher of mine for years and years and years. I love Brother Leroy. Had jet black curly hair, kind of, what's the word, portly? That's not offensive, is it? He's a little bigger than Paul. And, you know, he had that jolly laugh. And he was in the process of laughing and, you know, cutting up with some of the people that he was working with. And they came and said, Your brother is hemorrhaging. He's laying on the floor, and he's calling for you to come and pray. And of course, Brother Leroy took off across the plant trying to get to Brother Paul. He later gave the testimony. He said, you know what? Before I could ever get to my brother and pray for him, I had to pray for myself. I had to pray that God would get me focused and get where I needed to be in my thoughts and in my heart before I could ever pray for his brother. And the Lord did touch him, and they both lived a wonderful and long life and ministered for God. But I said that because Monday night we got the call. Karen called Penny and said, and Penny come running in there. I had the television on and I had my phone. And, you know, just to be quite honest with you, I wasn't in the scripture. I wasn't in prayer. I was just doing one of those leisurely things. And so she came in. She said, Tony has fell off the back porch and he can't move his leg. Everything changed. Everything focused. And I remember I ran out of the house. I ran down to, and I didn't drive. I ran down to their house. And the whole time that I was going, Sister Brenda, I was praying, Lord, help me, help me, help me, so I can help him and minister to him. Get me where I need to be in faith. And you know, sometimes that's kind of hard to do when you don't even know the situation. Yet all I knew that was Karen said he had fell off the back porch or the back deck, and he couldn't move his leg. I got down there, and he was out there by himself. You know, Karen finally heard him. And he had fallen some almost about 5 feet and landed on the concrete, and I was afraid it was his hip. So I began to instantly lay my hands and begin to pray, God, and right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we need your healing power. We need your sustaining power. And you know how we are sometimes. Then, Karen, you need to call the ambulance. Amen. Come on. Our faith is coming weak sometimes. I believe the Lord was touching, but I believe we needed an ambulance too, because I didn't want to move him if it was his hip or his pelvic area. And Tony said, no, it's not there. It's my leg. And he said, if y'all will help me up, then we can get to the car. So we prayed. We got him up. We tried everything because it was on uneven ground. We finally thought of a desk chair that was in the house. They went and got the desk chair. It had rollers on it, so he was able to sort of prop his leg on that. And we rolled him up the hill and got him to the car. And the rest, thank God, God took over. But I said all that to say this, you know, thank God that he's easy to get a hold of. Amen. Thank God that he's always there. Because we don't know. Our life can change in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when we need prayer. Amen. And God is always there. So that's not going to cost you anything extra tonight. Just thought I'd share that, because many, many times we do need to call on the God, and instantaneously he is there for us. But tonight I want to talk about thine, O Lord. Everything that I have is thine. Everything that I attribute to my life and all, I give God praise and honor and glory. And here we find David. Now, let's kind of lay a little groundwork tonight. David is old. David is getting ready to depart from this world. He knows that his time here on earth is very, very short. He's had a very lucrative career, to say the least. God has blessed him. even in all of David's sinfulness, even in all of David's failures, he still was known as a man after God's own heart. And I think the main reason for that is because all of the bad characteristics of David were overwhelmed by his ability to repent. He knew how to repent. Probably one of the best examples of a Bible character in the Bible who knew how to repent and not just say, "I'm sorry," but was godly sorry for the things. And he was constantly finding himself in a humble position, asking God to forgive him. And God honored that, and God will still honor repentance today. David is getting ready to pass the mantle or the torch on over to Solomon. And this worked out, if you Bible readers know, it probably wasn't one of the sons that most of the people thought was going to be the next king, because he had some older brothers, and quite naturally they thought they would fall into place. But how many knows God has a plan? And his plan doesn't always measure up to what our plan is, but I tell you what, his plan is always right. So his plan was for Solomon to move in and to be the king of Israel. So David is addressing the congregation of Israel, and seemingly, I'm paraphrasing now. In fact, I don't want to paraphrase. I want to go back and I want to read it in the very first verse of the 29th chapter of the book of Chronicles. It's just back up just a few preceding verses to what we just read tonight. And David says in verse number 29, furthermore, or the Bible here tells us that he wrote this, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for the things to be made of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and the brass for the things of brass, the iron for things that are of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal, the gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? And then a few verses later, he goes ahead and prays the prayer of the blessing, amen, and then the recognition for all that is his, all that he has been able to obtain, all that he has been able to lay back for the house of God. He attributes that to God and says, "It's thine, God." And the wonderful thing about this is, if you think about the characteristics of man, if you think about sometimes the pride of man and sometimes what the expectations are, you might think David might hold a little adversity in his life, or a little animosity, that all of these years he has prepared. You know, David was going to build the house of God. He wanted a place for the rest, for the Ark of the Covenant to rest. He wanted not to dwell in the tents like it had been up in the time, but he wanted to make something beautiful for God. That's how much he loved God. That's how much he exalted God. And he wanted to do the very best that he could. And all of these things, these treasures and all. But you know, if you know anything about David, most of his kingship, he was in warfare against so many enemies. And there was a lot of bloodshed under the kingship of David. But he was a mighty warrior. God chose him and had a purpose for him. But God would not allow David to build the house of God. Not that he didn't love David, not that he didn't appreciate David's service, but because of the bloodshed. So he let some of the lineage or some of the seed of David be the king. Then he was the king during the times of peace, so God wanted Solomon to build a house. But the thing about it, David had prepared all of that. Now, had that been some of us today, we might want to question God. Say, now, wait a minute, God, all these years I've been preparing, I've been having great expectations of what I wanted this house to look like, and I wanted to give it to you, but now you tell me that I can't build it. But we don't find that in the scripture that David had any ill feelings whatsoever. In fact, he was telling the congregation, I want you to support Solomon. I want you to be with him. I want you to help him. I want all of the craftsmen that together, kind of be in one mind in one accord, and whatever that Solomon tells you to do, I want you to do that. I want you, all your stone cutters and whatever you have that you can contribute to the house of God, when you work together, the house of God will be built. Now, there's five things that I want us to take away from this particular passage of Scripture. You can read them for yourself, but I want to point them out to you. And it's five things that David talked about, and they can apply today in our service of God. As David understood what he was doing, he understood, first of all, the first thing I want us to take away from this is in the very first verse, in 29:1, it said, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. And I believe that we need to keep that type of mindset when we're working for God. Whatever we're doing, whether it's building a natural structure, whether it's ministering, whether it's teaching, whether it's preaching, whether it's singing, whatever we're doing, it's not for man, it is for God. You know we have the T-shirts, Brother Josh, that says, it's not about us, it's all about Him. Now that's a cute little saying, but we need to abide by that saying. We don't want to just have something cute on the T-shirt, we want that as a reminder. How many knows? The older you get, you need reminders. I told Sister Penny the other day, we got little yellow sticky notes all over the place. I said, you know what? We need to get one of them calendars that's got each day and have it big enough so we can write in what we're supposed to do. Because sometimes we'll get up, we'll have our coffee, we'll go, and then we'll say, what was we supposed to do today? Well, two people our age, we don't know. If we hadn't written it down, put a sticky note. So, you know, whatever it is, know that everything that we do is for God. And that's what David, the first thing that he talked about. Now, you understand, he's brought the congregation of Israel together. Now, he's not only asking for support for his son Solomon, but he's saying, you know what? You need to work together. How many knows that Israel didn't always work together? There was a lot of division over the time in history. There was a lot of split between the tribes. But David is saying, you know what? It's all about God. Everything that we are, Him bringing us through the wilderness journey, Him giving us over this wonderful land of Canaan as we came through the river of Jordan, we owe all of that to God. And I think we can understand today, where we are today, it doesn't matter where we are in our point of life, I believe we can point to God and say, God, You have been the author of my life. And thank God, not only the author, but the finisher. Amen. And the finisher, I'm not talking about just death. I'm talking about death being swallowed up. I'm talking about the finisher, what He has prepared for me in heaven. He has authored my life, but He's also written me a wonderful ending. How many is thankful for the ending that the Lord has prepared for us? And David said, all is Thine. All is Thine. So he says, it is not for man. When we give unto the Lord, it is not to say, well, I contributed this, or I brought the gold, or I brought the silver, or I fashioned the wood, or I was the one, the silversmith that did all of this wonderful overlay. He's trying to tell them, everything that you do, it is for God. Amen. And when you do it for God and not expect accolades or pats on the back, how many knows that God will bless you? Amen. You don't have to praise yourself. God will bless you. But whatever you do in word and in deed, do it for the Lord with all of your might. So David's bringing that message, very clear message, and I think, and one that I think is still very applicable in our day as we worship and praise the Lord. How many knows that we don't only worship and serve God in this house? I hope we understand that. This is a meeting place. This is where we come together. We worship and pray the Lord. We praise the Lord. We pray one for another. We sing worship songs and praise God. But the real service is outside the door so many times as we go into our highways, into the hedges, and the Bible says compelling them, amen, to come to the knowledge of Christ. So the service is not just in the house, but it's in our life, in every bit of our life, in the whatever walk of life that we do. So David is telling him, it's for the Lord. It is not for man. Amen. Everything here, I begin to think, the Lord has blessed us. But all of this is for the Lord. It doesn't belong to man. It belongs to the Lord. And you know what? We should not have any problem with that. Because all is thine. Thine, O Lord. When you pray, and you thank God for your home, you thank God for your family, you thank God for your job, remember, it's thine, O Lord. Everything I have, even the breath that I breathe, is thine, O Lord. The second thing that David points out is in verse number 3. And I love this. He says, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God. I love that saying. I want to set my affection not only to the natural house of God, but more so to the spiritual house of God. I want to do my very best for God. I want to give Him the first fruits. I want to give Him the very best that I have to give Him. The best of my praise, the best of my worship, the best of my time. Amen. You know, if the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then He'd add these other things. So many times we get that backwards and we seek these other things in whatever time and whatever's left, then God gets that. But David said, no, wait a minute. I have set my affection on the house of my God. Not only, you know, and here's the thing about David. David knew that he wasn't even going to be able to enjoy it very long because it was going to be for the next generation. But he knew his time was short, but he wanted to see that house undertaken. He wanted to see that house built for God, that place for a habitat of the Ark of the Covenant, symbolic of the mighty Spirit of God. He wanted a place for that, and he knew that God wanted a house, and God wanted a structure, and David was preparing for that, but he said, I have set my affection to the house of my God. So that lets me think that many, many times as David was in the battle, and he was in a lot of battles, there was a lot of people that come, a lot of enemies that come against the nation of Israel. But God had a purpose and God had a man for that time. And many, many times I would imagine David was praying for peace. David was praying, Lord, you know, help me to be victorious over my enemies. Help me to overcome them. But also help me, Lord, to be able to prepare for that house, to set these things in order. Oh, David could have spent a lot of that silver, a lot of that gold. He could have put it elsewhere. But you know what? He saved the very best for God. Amen. When we die and we meet our Savior, I hope we can say, Lord, I saved the very best for you. The very best of my life, the very best of my praise, the very best of my worship. You know, I saved it for you and I give it to you. And you know what? I find out when you do that first part, you give the Lord His, He takes care of the rest of it. Even the time, so many times. You know, if you're looking for a time to pray and meditate, you won't find a convenient time. You just don't. Heck, the schedule's too hectic. There's too many things going on. But if you make that sacrifice, and I will assure you, if you make that sacrifice to seek God first and to put Him at the top of your list and say, you know what? I'm going to praise Him first. I'm going to read His Word first. I'm going to seek Him first. I will assure you, it'll be amazed what God will allow you the rest of the time to work those things out. Because so many times, we're trying to work all the schedule out and we never get it right. We're always needing more time. Sister Penny told me today, she said, I need more hours in this day. I said, no, you don't. We're fine with just the hours that we got. Yeah. We just need more energy. We don't need more hours. But give the Lord your very best. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of God. I have set, understand, I have set my affection. That requires us to do something. How many has ever made a schedule of what you plan to do? You know, that's the hardest thing in the world for me, especially with my job when I was working for Flowers Baking Company. And in management, they wanted us to do that. And I told them one day, I said, mine never works out. I can put it down, what I'm going to do Monday, what I'm going to do Tuesday, what I'm going to do. But it's you know, when you got that plan and there's a fire that needs to be put out, and I'm not talking about a natural fire. I'm talking about going to a store manager and kind of fixing things or whatever it is. There's a distributor broke down, a truck broke down. Those things come to the forefront. You have to do those regardless of what you've got planned. So why should I make those plans? They said, because it causes you to focus. Let that sink in a little bit. Causes you to focus and have a plan. Because every day you're not going to have those trouble things that you're going to have to go out and fix those things. And then you're going to be sitting there twiddling your thumbs. What am I supposed to do? If you look at that schedule, then you know what's next on your agenda. And as we make our schedule, amen, it hardly ever works out.
David saying, I set my affection. I set my schedule. I set my time in order to give God first, to give Him praise, to give Him honor, to exalt Him. Because I realize that all, everything that about me, everything that I have, everything here that Israel is blessed with, it's all Thine. So if you set your affection, if you set your time, if you set your schedule according and put God first, I will assure you that everything else will work out in the proper perspective that it's supposed to. The third thing that David talks about, and this is quite good too, and it sort of hit me because I was never one of the best students in school. I made it by. I made it. I graduated. I got out. But mother and daddy always said, you know what, you could do better. And I would often say, why? Why? I found out if you could get a C or a low B, and you could, you know, you still have plenty of time to play, still have plenty of time to get involved in the extracurricular activities around school and all those wonderful things. Now, if I'd been making D's and F's, that brought on more. But I was getting by. I was doing pretty good. Few subjects I made a little better than that. Of course, Penny says, you really did better than that. I know when Mother was here, she said, why do you get up there and tell them you were such a bad student? You was really, really a good student. I said, Mother, I just don't like to brag. But David says in verse number 3, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Now he's talking about silver and gold, and he's talking about all those things. You understand that as he was king, he was able to amass a certain amount of riches, but also in his individual possession, as being king, he probably got a pretty good salary. He probably got several things. But he said, you know, I have also given over and above that I prepared. When you think you have prayed as much as you have given yourself to pray, or when you have prayed a C prayer, when you've prayed a B-plus prayer, and you're satisfied with that prayer, can I urge you to give over and above a little bit of that prayer, or a little bit of that time in reading and studying and obeying God's Word? Because so many times we Christians are very satisfied with this, just the average grade. We've kind of done our part. We've prayed and we've given our time to the Lord. We've come and we've been in a part of the service. But I charge you tonight, give over and above every once in a while and see if God don't bless you. See if God don't just lift you up. Amen. When you've prayed that, whatever that prayer. And I'm not one that puts time limits on prayers. I believe it's the quantity of prayer, or rather the quality of prayer that supersedes the quantity of prayer. But still, sometimes the flesh wants to get it over and done with. Those are the times that, you know what, if you just put a little bit more with it. Sometimes when you're singing a song, just put a little more unction in. Sometimes when you're teaching Sunday school class, just a little bit more. When you're preaching, come on, give it all. I believe when we're preaching, we need to lay it all. Leave it on the field. Lay it all out there. So many times, and I think that's sometimes when we're the tiredest is when we've given it all to the Lord. So David said, I have given over and above all that I have prepared. That's something that we can apply today. Not only in monetary things. That's not all that he's talking about. That's not all that I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about our spiritual and our service to God. The fourth thing that he talks about is when he jumps out and talks about the actual building or the preparing for the house of God. How many knows that sometimes spiritual service also requires physical service? Hello? Can I say that again? Sometimes spiritual service often requires physical service. You know, God split the Red Sea, but he told Moses, stretch your rod out. He healed the blind person, but he spit in the clay. Jesus did, and he made spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man, told him to go wash. Jesus didn't have to do it. He could have said, be whole, be made whole. You can receive your sight. But sometimes service requires physical service too. Sometimes that's the part that we don't really want to do. But he said here, He wanted all of the artificers, all of the craftsmen, all of the stone cutters, all of the wood carvers, all of the people that, and they did. You know, many, many times families would continue to be in whatever service it was, whether it was carpenter. You know, Jesus was born, and Joseph, his natural father, was a carpenter, and Jesus probably learned many of the traits of carpentry. And this was passed on from generation to generation. And David said, you know what, let's all come together. Ooh, boy, that'll preach, won't it? Because we all have different abilities. Amen? We have, you know, different abilities. And God, you know, God understands our abilities. He understands our talent. And that's the reason He places us in the body, not as it pleases the pastor, but as it pleases Him. Remember, all is Thine. Amen. All is Thine, O Lord. So David is calling for people to come together and to work alongside one another for the house of the Lord. Not that they'll be lifted up in praise. Not that it's just, you know, look what we've done. But look what we've done for the Lord. So then he tells them, a hands-on project handmade by craftsmen. You know what we've learned? That sometimes when the church grows a little complacent, when it gets a little satisfied, sometimes we'll have like a work day. Sometimes we'll have something that we need to do around the church. And we call for those to come together. And those that come together, and it seems like it's a joy to be doing something for the house of God, you know. And it's a blessing. You know what? And it makes us be in one mind and one accord. Regardless of what the project is, regardless of whether it's a natural project or a spiritual project, I think some more times maybe we need to band together and just come and have a prayer service. Just come and let's just pray for a mighty move of God. You know, forget about the ordered service. Forget about how we're going to sing. Forget about who's going to sing. Just meet together and begin to pray for a mighty move of God. God, we just want to give You our very best. We want to praise You. We want to worship You. We want to glorify You. We want to be one body that's cohesive, one body that's working together, each helping the other, each loving the other, each doing what God has called them to do. So He's bringing all of these craftsmen together, a hands-on project, and then He says this. I want you to notice this. Let's look at verse 5. The gold for the things of gold, and the silver for the things of silver. Everything has a place, and a place for everything in God's service. Amen? And I will assure you, when we try to get it back into our place, then God's not going to bless it. But if we'll ask God to help us, put it where You want us to do, whatever it is You want us to do, Lord, help us to be willing to do what You've called us to do. For all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers, I guess I'm saying that right. If I'm not, please excuse the pronunciation. But basically, that means for the craftsmen, those that are expert in certain fields. And then He doesn't leave the other people out. You know what? I wish that I was a master carpenter. But I'm not. And I know that I'm not because I've seen some of the work that I've done. But I'm willing to help. I know that I'm not an electrician. Brother Jim McCoy, say amen. Because when we put those lights up there, I know he got tickled and frustrated because he said, why are these two together? You know. That's what that tape's for. But I was willing to help him. Brother Keith, you would not want me on a job except to say, go get me a screwdriver. And I'd probably come back with a Phillips head instead of a... But I'm willing. Come on. I'm not an expert. And this is what you... Well, I can't sing, but are you willing? I can't testify. Are you willing? I can't knock on doors, but are you willing? Because if you're willing, God will bless you and God will place you, amen, where He wants you to be placed. And you do have a job. Don't ever say, I wish I had a job in church. Because God will give you a job. God will make a place for you, amen. Because we're in the same body of Christ. Whether we're an expert chiseler of wood or whether we're an expert stone cutter. Because He says, and you are who then is willing to consecrate His service this day unto the Lord. Love that when I read that, because that hit me, because I'm not an expert in this field. I'm not this, I'm not that, but I'm willing and I want to consecrate. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? I could ask that question tonight. You don't have to raise your hand, but let me ask you. Maybe you say, well, I feel insignificant, but who is willing to consecrate their self unto the Lord and say, Lord, I may not have much to offer, but I'm willing to let you use me. And then God will use you and God will bless you. Because as much as those craftsmen were expertise in their field, they still had somebody to bring them the stones, somebody to mix the mortar, somebody to run and get a screwdriver, somebody to tape up the wires, even though I taped them up wrong, said, no, you need to do it this way. But I learned because I was willing. God, doesn't matter, but I'm willing. I'm willing, whatever you want me to do. Whatever you want me to be, I'm willing. Amen. Because it's thine, O Lord. And I want to remind you, all three of these buildings are thine. Every pew in this sanctuary is thine. Tell me about the pews that you're sitting in. If you would describe those, you would say, yeah, they're wooden and they're cushioned. I grew up in a church where we had wooden but no cushion. And sometimes, if you slid too fast, sometimes the wooden was splintery. It wasn't a real comfortable church, but thank God for this. But I want to tell you something. That's not the important factor of these pews. But I can tell you tonight, with all sincerity, that every single one of these pews have been anointed and prayed over and dedicated to the service of God. Thank God for the asphalt paving out there, which is something we're probably going to have to look at, maybe doing a little later on. But I want you to understand that every parking spot on this whole property, even though it's paved and it's a good place to park your car and not get muddy, that's not the main thing. Every parking spot on this property has been anointed and prayed for. Brother, why are you going to do something silly like that? Because it's thine, O Lord. And whoever comes in and sits on that pew, I want them to be touched by God. Every person who parks their automobile in one of the spaces out there, I want them to know that this is the house of God. It belongs to God. And I want them to be touched by everything about this property because it is thine, O Lord. Amen. It's not about us. It's all about Him. And let me tell you something. That house was built. David did not get to see the finished part. But what he had prepared, there was always a part of David in that house. And there'll always be a part of you in the body of Christ. God bless you. I love you. I appreciate each and every one of you. I appreciate your dedication and your faithfulness to come out on a Wednesday night. I know it's not the most convenient thing to do, but I pray that God will bless you really, really good. Would you stand tonight? If you have a need tonight, please understand and know that we'll pray with you. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of one together, praying one for another. But he also says, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and pray. And I know we've already had prayer requests tonight, and I'm believing for those prayer requests, but we don't want to dismiss without giving you an opportunity if you need to come forward to be prayed for tonight. Is there one? Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. Brother Jim, would you come tonight? Dismiss us with a word of prayer. Can you give the Lord one more hand clap of praise? Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank
Hallelujah. Praise God. You love the Lord tonight? Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful message. A learning experience for each and every one. I just love the Word of God. Amen. Just love His Word. Whether it's read or whether... It's just, and I'll say this, and we say it a lot on Friday mornings at our men's meeting, and there's so much going on in ministries, I want to get y'all involved, but make, you know, the comment's been made so many times that you read something as you're reading the Word, as you're doing your daily devotions, but then God knows what you need, and when you read a passage, and all of a sudden it just lights up.
Amen.
That's why I call it the living Word. I just love God. So if all hearts and minds clear, let's don't leave without that. Don't forget about all the activities going forward. And all the many ministries, keep them in your prayer too. And also those that are God's healing, the others that are God's touching, and those that are facing procedures or unknown questions about their health, we want to lift each and every one up.
Amen.
Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. Lord, thank you again for letting us feast at your table, dear Lord, with your mighty word. Lord, thank you for opening up for us, dear Lord, not putting a blockade between us and you, but letting us come directly to the throne of grace, dear Lord. We just praise and worship you. Lord, if there's anyone in the sound of our voice tonight, dear Lord, that has something on their heart, something weighing them down, or that indecision, dear Lord, as far as their walk with you, Lord, may they just turn their life around to you, dear Lord. May they just know, Lord, if we bring our cares and our heart to you and let you be our Redeemer, our Lord and Savior, dear Lord, that all things are possible. Lord, again, thank you for all the testimonies, dear Lord. We know that you're handling each and every prayer request, those spoken and unspoken. Lord, we ask now as we leave that you'll bless each and every family. Lord, strengthen and guide us and bring us back at our appointed time. But, dear Lord, not just here, but during our daily walk, whether it be at work, in the grocery stores, or wherever we are, Lord, that your light will shine through us, that we'll be a willing vessel. And, Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name, and we all say, amen, amen. Love that. Praise the Lord. Praise God.